5-year-old Relia Wilson has been missing from Florida's foster care system since last year. In New Jersey, two brothers, ages 5 and 7, were found starving in a basement, while the 7-year-old's twin was found dead in a storage bin. Scandals such as these make headlines and spark the nation's outrage. Elected officials promise to do better, but rarely is there any burning passion for wholesale reform of America's child welfare systems. This week, Morning Edition examines the status of children in peril, how the system fails them, and the obstacles that even committed policymakers face as they try to fix things. Today, Marion Wright Edelman, founder and president of the nonprofit Children's Defense Fund, offers a sobering assessment. Even in a prosperous nation, she says, the country fails to care for its youngest and neediest.
We lose 2,000 children in the child welfare system every year to abuse and neglect. These chronic child deaths go on day after day, and we have got to figure out how to get our country to commit to doing something about it. These are the most vulnerable and voiceless children, but it is a scandal how neglectful the state parent is and what we fail to do to keep children out of the system in the first place.
The new administrator of the program in Florida wants $500 million, an increase in his budget of $500 million to deal with the job. And the governor says he ain't going to get that. And they're outsourcing, using independent agencies to take over the backlog of cases they have. Is Florida typical? Is Florida the worst? Are other states, do they have backlogs like this?
Most states have backlogs like this. Most states have inadequate and failing child welfare systems. Some states are beginning to try to put reforms into place. I think that New York City has been beginning to try to put into place the complex series of reforms that are needed. In El Paso County, Colorado, they have begun to bring about reforms. In Michigan and Illinois, there are some steps forward. But most of our child welfare systems are overloaded or failing. And there are really three levels of things we need to do. The first most important thing we can do is to keep children out of the system in the first place and to begin to invest in prevention. Child poverty is a huge cause of the need for foster care. Substance abuse and trying to help parents be better parents are the things that we've got to invest in. But this country would much rather wait until after families break up, after children get into trouble, after the child is abused and neglected, before we respond. The second thing we've got to do is to make sure that when children do come into the system, that we've got, the way to work with their families to see if that child can go back home. But if that child can't go back home, we have got to make sure that they get a permanent family. Children need permanency. And the last thing we've got to do is to hold all of us, and particularly our public officials, accountable. These children are not a priority too often. You know, we think of them as other people's children too often. We blame the children for the parents that they did not choose. And so we have these failing child welfare systems because our nation really does not care about these children adequately. The bottom line is this country is really quite hypocritical. We talk about family values. We talk about children. We need to begin to close the hypocrisy gap. The question is getting the will to do it.
Why is there not more public outrage about this? I mean, you're an advocate. This has been your cause for so long, and we're used to hearing it from you. Why isn't there more from other sources?
Well, you know, I ask myself that all the time. We've been at this for 30 years. We know that if you invest in immunizations or in prenatal care and preventive health care, it saves money. It saves child lives. There are many things that work, and yet we can't get the public to care. We've got to build a movement, and we have got to ask the faith community, where is your voice? Why aren't you speaking out? Children are born into poverty every 46 seconds in the richest nation on earth. Why do we tolerate them cutting children's programs and freezing children's programs and not doing what they need to do to give every child a head start or child care or health care, while they're giving huge amounts of money to the non-needy? They are proposing that Bush administration, a dividend tax cut, just that dividend tax cut, would pay for health care for every one of the 9 million uninsured children, would pay for a head start for every child who needs it to get ready for school, to get strong self-esteem. We don't have a money problem, we have a values and a will problem, and we need to wake up and say we're going to take care of our children first, whether economic downturn or prosperity, whether war or peace.
Okay, you've cited the downturn in the economy. the cuts in government programs and the failure of the faith community, as you're describing, mm-hmm. to step in and help. You got anybody going for you?
We have made some improvements. Some things do work. A decrease in infant mortality. We had millions of children who did get health care. We've expanded Medicaid and the Child Health Insurance Program, a program they're trying to kind of cut and have it fall through the cracks right now. We have made real gains. But the fact is, here we are in an economy that has tripled since Dr. King's death, and we've had a resurgence of children in extreme poverty. The mayors are reporting increases in hunger and in homelessness. I mean, hunger is not an act of God. Child poverty is not an act of God. It's about government and community and citizen priorities. And so the fact is, today we have things that we know we must do. The fact that there are 9 million uninsured children and that 90% of them are in working families is a disgrace. And the violence that our children are facing every day in their homes and their communities, I think really says to adults, when are we going to get our act together?
Marion Wright Edelman, founder and president of the nonprofit Children's Defense Fund. Tomorrow, reforming New York City's child welfare system, beginning with the all-important and often overworked and underpaid caseworkers.
It was a routine operation that if you had to remove a kid from a Bronx tenement, or you had to remove 4 or 5 kids, you were on your own. You had to pile whatever you could of the children's belongings into garbage bags, and then you had to trot the kids down to the bus and the subway and take them downtown on the subway, very upset, very unhappy, very worried.
After the tragic death of a child 8 years ago, New York set out to overhaul its child welfare system. Those changes are held out as an example for other agencies across the country, but looming budget cuts threaten the hard-won reforms.